Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STAND. Our normal host, Bishop E.W. Jackson, is not available today. He's kind of tied up with other things that he needs to be doing. But we do have a very special guest, a friend of the ministry, a friend of Bishop Jackson, and a friend of America, as someone who has given a lot more than most in his love for this country. So I'll open in prayer, and then we'll turn it over to General Boykin. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be on the call today. Thank you for all that has led up to this day. And we ask, Father, that as you guide us through today, that you would enable us to see what it means to offer ourselves in service to others, to offer our lives, first of all for you, and then for others, for each other. Your two main commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love for you first, and then as a result of that, love for our neighbors. And as Jesus pointed out, our neighbors might not look like us, our neighbors might not be who we might choose them to be, but they're still our neighbors. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would enable us to be lovers of our neighbors so that we can offer them a life in you. Thank you for our guest today. Thank you for General Boykin. Thank you for all that he has given, all that he has offered, all he continues to offer for this country and for you. And we ask that you would enable him to speak in a way that energizes us, that equips us, that enables us to see what it is that you would have us to do. We pray a special prayer for Bishop Jackson today as he's tied up, and we ask that you would continue to use him and use STAND for your glory in the days ahead, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, our guest today is General Jerry Boykin. His resume is quite extensive. I'm not going to get into that today, but those of you who have been with STAND for a while know that General Boykin is a friend of this ministry. And he is Executive Vice President for Family Research Council and has served our country in not only military service, but in other areas of service as well. So, General Boykin, the floor is yours, and take as much time as you need, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Well, thank you very much. First of all, let me say that I'm delighted to be with you in this very special day. And of course, for me, of the secular holidays, this is certainly my favorite. And I say that with sort of mixed feelings when I say that, because it is a day that we set aside to honor those who have died while fighting for their nation. They've died in combat. Now, this, a lot of times this is perceived as something that is, we set aside a day that we can honor all of the veterans that have gone on, whether they were in combat or not. And that's okay if you celebrate it that way. That's okay. But going all the way back to 1868, after the Civil War, where there was a growing desire to be able to honor those Civil War veterans that died fighting for the reunification of the United States. It has been a day that was set aside just for those who died in combat, fighting for their nation, fighting for America. But however you celebrate, and I guess that's not a good term, but however you honor these people that have died in combat, it's okay to say to a veteran, thanks for your service, and it's okay to remember those, and you may have family members that fall into the category of a veteran who has served but did not die in combat. It's okay if you put them in with the ones that that actually were on the battlefield when they paid the last full measure. It's okay. Just I would encourage you to at least just get out and do something. Go to a veteran cemetery and show your respects. Put some flowers on a grave. And I, every Memorial Day, I have a couple of places that I go, and one of them is a cemetery in the little county that I live in Virginia here, Prince Edward County. And it's not because my father is buried there, but it's because a very dear friend of mine who was my mentor who died, I go there and stand over his grave, and I pray over his grave, and I remember him fondly before he was killed. And so that's the way I remember Memorial Day. And my dad, who was wounded on D-Day, did not die in combat, but he was wounded and lost his eye. He is down in North Carolina, and I'm in Virginia, so I normally don't get down there on that Memorial Day to be with him. But so let's think about this. If all Americans, all across this nation, were to stop on Memorial Day and think about or say a quick prayer about the families of those men and women who have died in combat, what a wonderful thing that would be. It would remind us of two things. One would be the history of our sacrifice, and the other one would be the history of our service. You know, there's a sacrifice every time we lose a soldier, a sailor, airman, marine. There's a sacrifice that's being made there for this country. And it, I'm one who believes that we have failed completely to maintain a good perspective of our history and the sacrifices that have been made, the cost of being the nation that we are. And then a lot of that cost goes right back to the men and women laying in these veteran cemeteries or laying in a cemetery somewhere else in the United States, or even those that are in the cemeteries at places like Normandy and multiple places in the European theater from World War II, or in the Pacific theater from World War II as well. And I think it is appropriate that we honor their sacrifice, that we honor their service, that we honor them. And I will just tell you a couple of things. You know, I commanded the Delta Force. And I will tell you that we lost men. We lost men from time to time. It was difficult to lose those men. But, you know, today, we get together and we remember them. We remember those people. We remember what they did. We remember their names. We hold them up in our prayers. And they're not them, but we hold up their families in our prayers. And we feel like it's an obligation that we have as people who served with them, as people who died with them. And you know, I was the commander of the Delta Force during the Black Hawk Down events there. And people don't understand exactly what it means to be part of a military unit unless you've been in the military and actually experienced that. But in Mogadishu, Somalia, there in 1993, when we were fighting in the streets of Mogadishu, we had two Black Hawks shot down, one about 30 minutes later than the other one. And everybody that I had sent to the first Black Hawk crash to try and get everybody out of that. And then the second one occurred, and I had nobody left except the cooks and the clerks and the mechanics. So I gave them orders to get their guns and get ready to go. While they were getting ready to go, I got a call from one of the helicopters out there that was carrying two of the Delta Force snipers, Randy Shugart and Gary Gordon. And it was a very hot, volatile environment there. I mean, there were tens of thousands of Somalis fighting against 100 Americans. And one of those snipers, those Delta Force snipers that was up in that helicopter, was over the second crash. And he called and said, he said, "Boss, we're right over them. We can tell their probably backs are broken because they're having trouble getting out of the helicopter, but we can get them out. Put us in." And I had to say, "Well, I can't put you in there until I have some kind of backup for you. I have some people that I can put in there with you, because you guys don't stand a chance on that ground there with all of these Somalis that are out there fighting to kill an American." And then he called back a second time and said the same thing. And I told him the same thing. "No, we can't do that." And the third time he called, he said, "Sir," he said, "we're the only chance they have." Well, that changed things for me as I thought about it. And I prayed a prayer and I put them in. And I won't tell you the rest of the story. It's a little lengthy, but they went in and they did save one of the four men that were on the ground there. They saved them all at first, and then the Somalis overran them, and only one guy was not killed. And that was actually the pilot. And he came home to tell us the story, because Randy Shugart and Gary Gordon both died in their attempt to save their buddies. And those are people that I think of on Memorial Day. I relive that on Memorial Day, because they were fighting for something that was so much bigger than themselves. They were fighting for something that meant as much to them, if not more, than life itself. And these two men knew that they had very little chance of coming out of there. But those were their battle buddies on the ground there. And they had made a pledge to them, and it's captured in a thing we call the Ranger Creed. And it says, "Never shall I leave a comrade, a fallen comrade, to fall into the hands of the enemy." And they were living up to that. I don't think in their minds that there was anything that could have stopped them from going in there, except me and an unwillingness to give them an order. And I don't think they thought there was anything in there that was more precious than those men on the ground at that moment, those men that didn't have a fighting chance unless they got in there to get them out of that helicopter. So, and that's the kind of people that I think about on Memorial Day. And it's okay if you celebrate it in a different way, as long as you remember what it is, as long as you remember what it's about, as long as you remember the history associated with it. Because, see, the whole Memorial Day concept started, as I said earlier, in 1869. And then it actually got legs in New York, of all places, a couple of years later, which is really when it started to become a national holiday. So on this holiday, I would say to you, go out and have a good time. Take your family out. Do things that are fun. Do things that with the family. But also put some time aside to remember these men and women who have fallen in combat, and those veterans who have gone on after serving in the military. It's okay if you honor them as well, because they have also made sacrifices. And I like this holiday. I told you it's my very, favorite secular holiday, and it's because I can refer to it. I can I can see it in my mind. I can see the lives of those men and women that I was with when they died, or those that I knew that died in some other theater or some other war. And I ask you, please, to just keep them in mind, because they're the reason for this particular day. And it's set aside that we'll remember their sacrifice and their service. So I'll leave it there, and we can go for some questions.
Well, thank you, General. click star 6 to get in queue. My tongue got tangled up there. I apologize for that. I'll start off the questions, General, with there's a lot of times confusion between Memorial Day and Veterans Day, and I think you answered that fairly clearly. But another issue that I have seen over the last, 10, 15, 20 years is the emphasis that Memorial Day is the beginning of the summer season. It's the picnic day, it's the beach day, it's the day when all the summer activities kick off, and particularly, I think with young people, we've forgotten what the day is really all about. How would you remind young people in particular? You said we have to remember our history, but that's not being taught anymore. We have young people in our universities and looking for safe spaces and comfort puppies how do we deal with that attitude of, well, this, Memorial Day, there's no real significance to it anymore, I guess, is how I would approach it. How do you answer that?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, that's one of the reasons I brought that up. It concerns me a great deal that people don't know. This generation doesn't know the sacrifices have been made. Listen, all you have to do is go to Normandy there in France. It's a sacred place. And my dad was wounded there, and that's why it is so special to me. But it's a sacred place because as those 160,000 men came across that beach to liberate an entire continent, there was no turning back. There was no going home for an R&R or a vacation. It was all, you were all in, and you were going to be there until the war was over. And those men were committed. They were committed to America. They left the farms and the factories and all kinds of businesses and endeavors, and they signed up to fight in a war on two fronts, because America and its allies had been attacked. And I think that it's fair to say that our president at that time, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, was not willing to let Hitler and the Japanese, the emperor, not willing to let them dominate the world, because they were evil people. And they had evil intent. And they had committed unspeakable atrocities, and our leadership was not willing to let them get by with that. That's why knowing your history is so important, because we've even had one of the popular actors that was in Saving Private Ryan, who has several years ago made some comments about, we wouldn't have dropped the bomb if we hadn't been racist in World War II. And that's just nonsense. And all you have to do is a little bit of study, a little bit of reading about this, and you'll find out that there's another side to that that is far more compelling for what we did, because it actually saved lives.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, General, in knowing our history. And I grew up during the Vietnam era, and so much of what was being portrayed in the media and in other ways was so negative toward the country, even toward service. You know, of course, the draft was a big thing there too. Was, you know, a lot of those guys went to Vietnam against their will, but yet, you know, yet they gave their lives. They died in combat in service for this country, and so they need to be remembered. All right, Connor, let's take that first question. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Jerry, this is Claire Lopez here in Northern Virginia. Wonderful tribute to Memorial Day. Thank you for that. My question to you is, you know, looking back, as you said, knowing our history and how important that is, how would you draw the lessons from the past, as you were just talking about them, to today? To, you know, do we still have a commitment to the free world? Do we still have a commitment to the Westphalian nation-state system, sovereign borders? Is that still important?
Yeah, Claire, it's good to talk to you, Claire. I haven't seen you in a while, so it's good to catch up with you. And let me say two things. One is we have commitments as a result of treaties or pacts that we have we're part of, and you know, NATO being the top of the heap there. But we have treaties and pacts with other neighbors. But I think that if we're talking about blood and treasure, which we clearly are, I think we have to be discerning, and I think we have to be very cautious in terms of committing that. That's, I mean, the principle behind what we're doing right now with the Ukraine is we're giving them what they need to fight their war. We're standing beside them politically, and we're also providing them with equipment and humanitarian goods. So I think that that's a commitment, that a moral commitment that we have, regardless of whether we're in a pact or something with them. Now, that said, it can get out of hand too. So we have to make sure that we've looked at it from every angle before we get involved, especially if there's going to be American boots on the ground. But in this case, with the Ukrainians, there are no American boots on the ground.
Again, press star 6 to get in queue if you have a question for General Boykin. You mentioned, General, that Memorial Day was your favorite secular holiday, and that, you know, as you look at the various, you know, 4th of July, Labor Day, you know, I guess those would be the other two big ones, Veterans Day later on in the year, but that's not really celebrated the way Memorial Day is. When you think about, and you gave a good history there of your experience in Somalia, all of those young men, particularly young men, now I guess when you get into you know the Middle East and the Iraq War and everything, then you start talking about young women as well, who gave their lives in service to their country. How do we pay them back? Can we pay them back? I guess maybe I'll just leave it at that. Can we pay them back for what they have given, what they have paid for the love of their country?
Yeah, I'm not sure that we can pay them back. I'm not sure that that's appropriate to think of it in terms of paying them back. But I do think that it's always a good idea to thank them. And, you know, that means so much more to them than anybody can understand unless you've been there, you know. I never pass a soldier or sailor, airman, marine in an airport that's in uniform and I don't say thank you for your service. And they for the most part, they just get a broad smile on their face, or they very politely say thank you. And I think that there's nothing wrong with just thanking them every opportunity that you get. And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that everybody should do this, but I will go by, if I see somebody, especially a World War II veteran, and I saw one the other day in a restaurant. I'll just go to the counter and pay their lunch bill or whatever it might be. I'll pay for their meal there and they normally have people with them. And for these Vietnam vets, don't ever hesitate. When you know somebody's a Vietnam vet, don't ever hesitate to say welcome home to them. Now, it's been long enough now, they've heard it multiple times, but it doesn't get old to them because of the way they were treated when they came home. When they got off the airplane in San Francisco, and there were hordes of people out there just waiting to call them baby killers and all kinds of revolting names. So I don't think it's a matter of paying them back. But I do think if you support organizations that are designed to help warriors that have been wounded and that have long-term medical problems, I think that supporting those kinds of organizations are good as well in terms of actually making life better for those that have lost limbs or been injured in some other severe way.
Well, I don't think we have any more questions, General, so I'm gonna let you go, but I do appreciate you taking the time to be with us today and reminding us of the special nature of this coming Monday, that we do have something to really stand up and shout about, that these people who have as you mentioned, given their lives in combat, it wasn't something they necessarily wanted to do, but they, particularly now we have a volunteer military, something they signed up for, something they realized, okay, this could happen. And when you step into a situation like that and you allow for those events to take place, your willingness to give your all, give the last full measure, I think is the term you used. That is something to be grateful for.
Let me just say also that some of the people that hear this know, but Randy Shugart and Gary Gordon, who got the two guys, or got the guy out of the helicopter there and died in the process, those two men were actually recipients of the Congressional Medal of Honor, the highest award for valor in our nation. So that, and they didn't do it for that reason, but they were heroes, and I want to honor them as on this Memorial Day as well by telling you the rest of the story, and that is that they were awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. Again, we're grateful for you're taking the time to be with us, and we'll have you back again before too long. So God bless you, General, and continue to do the good work that you are involved in with FRC.
Well, God bless you, and thank you very much.
Well, folks, again, thank you for being on the call today. There will not be a call next Tuesday. We don't do a call the day after a national holiday, so there will not be a call next Tuesday. But hang on there for in a couple weeks. We're going to move into what we have designated, what Bishop Jackson has designated as Celebrate Traditional Marriage and Family Month. So those next several weeks we'll be talking about family issues. Some of the gender issues that we're involved in right now, all of that stuff is going to be, we're going to be talking about that on our calls. I do want to mention that for those of you who participated in our 2023 Stand Awards Dinner, grateful for whatever level of participation that you were able to offer. It was a wonderful event, a very successful event. We're very pleased with how the Lord just worked through all the honorees, everyone who had a part in it. It was just a glorious evening together, and just a note that we'll be doing it again, God willing. And be mindful of the fact that this is something that Stan does every year, and we're going to continue lifting up the name of Jesus and lifting up America as we continue to fight for this country. So again, God bless you. Thank you for being on the call with us today, and we'll look forward to celebrating Memorial Day on Monday, and then also getting back in the schedule for June. So God bless you. Have a good rest of your day.